Prepare ye the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't do this to steal any thunder from Father McGuire, and I'm sure he will talk to you at various points about his own father. But knowing that so many of you here had known him throughout the years, and that he had always been really a bright spark here at St. Hugh, especially for any parish party, despite the fact that it was never actually his party, that many of you have made friends with him throughout the years, and that he, of course, would be very close on your minds and in your prayers, and in fact, it is the reality is that many of you have been praying for him for years now. And so I thought it only fitting to talk about him a little bit today, especially because it fit in with the scriptures so well. For those of you who don't know, haven't known him long, he was not a Catholic until 2 years ago when he finally was baptized at St. Gertrude's. But while Father McGuire always worried for his dad and worried that one day would he convert or not, or how would he die outside the church or inside the church, all the rest of the clergy that knew him, and there were many of us, we all had great confidence that one day he would indeed embrace the Catholic faith. We all knew that in reality, in his heart, he really probably believed everything we already believed. But, you know, as a man, delightful as he was known to occasionally be a little bit on the stubborn side. And so baptism was just one of those things that he wasn't always just right ready for yet. Yet, if you looked at his life, he did more for the church, the Catholic Church, than many people who had been born into it. He would, for years, go and accompany the family day after day for long drives all the way up to Columbus every Sunday to ensure that they got to be able to attend Mass. And when they needed to have a mission, it was at his house and in his living room that it was converted into a chapel, and that he hosted such Masses and helped prepare the room for regularly. He would travel long distances to go to very long ceremonies, consecrations and ordinations and major feast days, and of course, never missing a parish picnic. Along the way, many of us made various efforts to convert him, to get him across that line. One time I remember him doing so much work around the house to get ready for a mission Mass that we had there, and everything went off swimmingly, and then they never failed to produce food afterwards to feed the priest before he returned back home. And I looked at him and I said to him, Kyle, you do more for the most Catholics, for the Catholic Church. Why don't you just become a Catholic so you can actually go to heaven as a reward for your efforts? And he would then always have some sort of quip or sly remark or talk about being an honorary member, or that Mary was Catholic enough for the two of them, or something along those lines. But it was never in a way, there was never anything taken to heart as offensive. And he knew, I think deep down, one day he would follow. Finally, at one point, I got him to agree to catechism classes. I talked to him on the stoop and sort of had been planning the way to convince him of how important it would be to actually learn about the faith that he worked so hard to help promote. And in forming this argument, I knew I was going to sort of corner him and trap him where he couldn't say no to doing some catechetical studies. And it was a nice day, and so we were standing on the porch. And I remember I had never seen him so nervous before, when he realized he was in that conversation. He had been drinking coffee and he had a styrofoam cup, And slowly, piece by piece, he tore it into absolute shreds till the end of the conversation when he said, yes, I will sit down and do some catechism classes with you. There was nothing but styrofoam confetti left in his hands. It was a strange reality for such a usual calm customer that he was. And we did do a lot of catechism work, but never quite got him across the end. That would be left a few years later to Father LaTaranta, who succeeded in finishing his catechism and baptizing him on Thanksgiving weekend of 2019. In fact, Father Giacato was there to witness it, and it was one of the last actions, occasions, big occasions, before he became sick. And it was fitting because they had been such longtime friends from the time since Father Maguire was a teenager. Later, Father Maguire was told by his dad why he finally decided to get baptized. Because when Father LaTaranta convinced him to resume his studies and embrace the faith and get baptized, it was when he went to visit him in the hospital at that time before, where he had gotten sick, as he had this time, and it led to complications, as it had this time. And he was actually really afraid that he was going to die. And it was a fear of that death that finally pushed him over the edge. This is what he told his son, that he was afraid to die, especially in that state, and he knew he had to make it right. And so he followed through and finally became the Catholic he was meant to be. Just a few days ago, though, as he lay in the hospital, sick again and in mortal peril, it was his son, Father Maguire, who brought him all of the sacraments and all of the last rites and was there to the end praying with him, that had to break the news to his father, just one-on-one, man to man, son to father. And he had to tell him that it didn't seem like there was any hope that he would live through the ordeal. And his father looked him straight in the eye and told him that it was all right, that he had no fear of dying anymore. What a difference having the true faith makes in an instance in a man's life, in the most important time of a man's life. What a difference knowing that you've done everything to prepare your soul to ensure that it's in sanctifying grace, that you're fortified by all the treasures that God can give through his holy church, and that there's nothing left to do but wait to meet God. Sins, they've been long washed away. Soul has been long strengthened. Everything for the way was prepared. That's the purpose of Advent. Advent is a season of preparation, preparing our way to meet our Lord. Everything about it that we're called to meditate upon, to think about, the liturgy, the prayers, everything points to that one end. We can look at it narrowly and think of seeing the infant Jesus there in the creche. And that is part of the preparation. The world had to be at its darkest point. Sin had to be rampant throughout it. That Rome had to have come to take possession of the Holy Land to ensure that the roads and everything was set up just right for the faith to be able to spread and for men to have the greatest shot of redemption and for the light of Christ to shine brightest in the darkness. It had to be just right. And so much preparation went in that time leading up to Christ being born, right down to the fact that they had to have a census in order that the prophecy be fulfilled that Christ be born in Bethlehem rather than where they lived in Nazareth. But for us, for man, there's additional preparation. We see that in the gospel today, that there is St. John the Baptist. He's called to prepare the way for our Lord, to make it straight. By what? He knows, or at least God has inspired him to act as he knew, that now the public ministry of our Lord, his manifestation to the general world, and his lesson and faith to be imparted on people, that was at hand, and people needed to be ready for it. How? Come and repent of your sins. Come into the water and be washed away. Leave that behind and embrace the truth and redemption which is at hand. It is not because that man is perfect or deserving that Christ came to the world. It is because we are undeserving, because we are sinful, because we are fallen, that he has come. And it is for that very purpose that he died upon the cross. Because it's not our perfection, which was why he entered the world, but because he knew that in our imperfection, we could be sorry and we could be worthy of forgiveness and we could be better tomorrow. That we could prepare ourselves to be worthy to see God. And so that's what John the Baptist called to the people on the shores of the Jordan for, that they may be ready to see their God and to witness their redemption. And then for us, particular, we here, it's the same spirit of Advent for us. We wait to one day see our God for our own end, an hour and a day of which we have no idea when it will come, but we know it will, and we must be ready for it. We must always think of ourselves in terms of, am I prepared to see God now? How is my soul? Am I in sin? Am I sorry for sin? Have I been virtuous or given in to the ease of vice? Have I been growing or staying still or moving backwards? What is the state of my soul? And what do I do to ensure that I am prepared? Advent gives us that answer. It is a penitential season. We prepare our souls by prayer and by sacrifice, by making it stronger, by fortifying it with the knowledge of the faith so we do not waver in difficult times, by reading about the lives of many holy men and women that have gone before us and paved a way of example, by understanding Christ himself as perfection and the perfect example, by realizing we can't do it alone and that we need supernatural aid, and utilizing that aid by coming and regularly going and taking advantage of regular good confessions, regular good holy communions, daily prayers, asking for the very graces we need. Realizing that cooperating with those graces is not usually the easier thing to do, but requires us to put in effort and sacrifice and give of ourselves. Realizing that charity is that virtue which is most difficult to exercise, but most rewarded when we succeed in doing so. Realizing that we cannot ignore our last end. We must think of it. We must reflect upon it. We must apply ourselves as if we could soon meet it. We have to think to ourselves of our own readiness to see God. And when we do, we ensure to better prepare ourselves for that inevitable time. We take care to protect sanctifying grace as the great treasure that it is. We take care to not see it as something to merely be guarded, but something to be built upon, increased, strengthened, and fortified. We see virtue not as something that is opposite of vice, but as an opportunity that waits around every corner for us to seize and take advantage of in order that we may grow spiritually. We work towards that end, so that when it comes, we can look upon it with no fear whatsoever, but instead realize that we wait ready to see God, because our way has already been prepared. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.